my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I went up, I learned. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russin Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
Live. Hey, okay, yeah, right. This is always so weird because, like, I'm not used to starting when, like, that happens for this show. Yeah. But I guess I'm Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I am Frank in the chat, and I also have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Session 335, a live edition of the Trade Addicts Podcast. This pretty much mostly always happens when Rocky and I are like, hey, man, it's Monday. We have a show tomorrow. Did you get a guest? There's no one on the calendar. Nope. Live show. Live show.
We actually have a guest for next week, but we didn't have a guest for this week.
Right, and I think that's what stuck in my head. I'm like, you see the guest for next week. And I'm like, there must be something, like, someone has to be. No. But also, we have our guest by default, almost, because Frank shows up to do the news, and at this point, he's probably just going to hang around, but I guess we'll see. We'll see what happens.
He's got nothing better to do.
That's true. I mean, this is pretty low. This bar is pretty low, but that just shows how little of a life Frank in the chat really has, where there's nothing better than to just sit on this show and gabble about. So we have another week of fantasy football that I don't know what fantasy football is anymore.
That's a good way to put it.
I am so lost. I have a couple of teams that I thought would be easy competitors. I'm 1-2. I have a couple of teams that I should be destroying the league, but I'm 0-3 with the least amount of points scored. It's just this. First of all, my brilliant combination of Kelce and Pitts as my tight ends on like four of my teams, not working out so well right now. Yeah. All of those Mark Andrews shares I acquired in the non-point scoring season,
not going so well
right now. I didn't acquire any Sam Laporta, but I had a bunch, so I still have a few. Not going so well. Oh, this week. All right. Well, I guess we're talking about this week. Let's just keep talking about this week. Frank, hit us up with the news.
Yeah. So we'll start. We'll do a couple big ones off the top, and then we'll run through the rest. But yeah, CMC is seeing a specialist in Germany. And to me, this like screams $1 million man. Like they're going to take his calf out and put like a piston in it. And but apparently it's like they can give him a bigger dose of something than they can in America. So who knows what's going on, but some injury expert I read said week 10 is when he's theoretically coming back now. But do you guys think he's done? Are we done with Christian McCaffrey?
No, I'll be done with Christian McCaffrey when I see what's happening to Travis Kelce right now. I always said Kelce's my tight end's one until he shows that he's not, and he's showing that he's not.
He definitely is.
When Christian McCaffrey comes back, if he comes back in week 10, I'm putting him in my lineup immediately. That is what it is. I'm not going to trade for him unless it gets like silly cheap. Like if I can get Christian McCaffrey for a second, I'll go do that. I don't care. Yeah. That is risk I will take on.
Right.
But I'm not really going to go out of my way to try and trade for him. But the second he comes, like this is, I mean, it's a very apt metaphor at this point. This is a Hail Mary. Like, that's what going out of the country is. It's, like you said, they can give you, you know, more stem cells than they can here or whatever it is. And someone else did this recently also. I can't remember who it was and if it actually did anything and helped. I feel like Peyton Manning did it all those years ago with his neck.
With his neck, yeah.
that went well, but I guess you can't really compare those two things.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm not giving up. If he comes back and he starts playing, he's in my lineup immediately. And the real question, I think, is if when he comes back, Jordan Mason might earn a role and McCaffrey won't be that 90% touch guy. That's, again, he plays, I'm playing him, but I don't think he's done. But the days of Christian McCaffrey might be done.
Yeah, first of all, that week 10 hurts me so much because I drafted him 101 in a redraft league. So, but I agree. I'm not going to doubt. I'm the guy who was saying, you know, granted, he was younger, but he missed almost two full years. And I was saying over and over and over again that whole 9 points scoring season, they're not going to use him as much. This isn't going to be the same Christian McCaffrey. They're not going to do that after 2 years of injuries. And then
they gave him 400 carries.
Yeah, exactly. And he's been great for the last couple of years again. So
yeah,
you have to think it's going to, you know, at this age, it, you know, even if he's back in week 10, he like Russ kind of said, he's not going to necessarily be the same Christian McCaffrey. But now I got to say, I'll believe that when I see it, like basically what Russ said. Like I was the huge doubter after the 2 years of injuries before, and he proved me wrong. So I'll wait and see if he proves me wrong again. Like I only have one or two shares in Dynasty. I see no point in selling at this point. So you're not going to get what you should probably, especially if he does come back in week 10 and starts playing like Christian McCaffrey.
Right. Are we in a first Jordan Mason territory now? If you're contending and you have McCaffrey but no Mason, are we there?
Nope. We talked about this. I actually was very unlazy, and the second we finished recording Dynasty Wall Street today, I'm like, you know what? I don't want to go to work. I don't want to go back to work because the work I have today is at yesterday at 4 p.m. I found a huge mistake that I made. And I'm like, I'm done. I can't. I won't be able to fix this today. I'm gonna walk away, and then
tomorrow problem.
Yep. And then I get to my computer the next day, and I realized how boring fixing this problem is gonna be. So the second I could walk away from the computer, I did not want to go back. So like, you know what? I'm posting this podcast, and we talked about Jordan Mason there, and I'm still not up for giving a first for him. If we heard that, like, if they said McCaffrey out for the season. Maybe like that's something that might get my idea, my brain pumping. Like if I win, it's the 112 and it's worth it if you win, even though you're probably holding a pretty valueless asset the second Christian McCaffrey's back on the field, even if it turns into 70% Christian McCaffrey as opposed to 90% Christian McCaffrey.
Yep.
I'm still not giving 2 seconds. If I can get a third back is really like, that was the deal we talked about on Wall Street. And I think that's what it is. Like if I can throw a mid second and my second to get Jordan Mason. Yeah. I'd much rather do that than give up anything with a one in it.
That's where he went in one of my leagues. Sorry, Rocky.
Sorry, I was just going to say I'm with Russ and I don't have much to add. I was looking and, I mean, it's a small sample, but it's all we have to go off of. Even in the three games, you know, that he's played this year, he's still, in points per game, he's still only RB16. To me, that's not worth a first for a guy you don't even know how long you're getting him for. So, yeah, I can't even, he would have to be like top five for me in those three games to even think about that.
Yeah. I wonder if it's because, I don't think he's getting catches. Is that what's keeping him down so low? Because it has to be something like that, right? Because usually,
he's got four catches for 20.
Yeah, that's it. So he's Derrick Henry, basically. Yeah. Okay.
Well, team is 20, you're not going to get any receptions. They're all.
Oh my god!
Clearly,
that guy. So Laporta, low ankle sprain. He was taken off on a cart, so that scared the crap out of me. But
everybody,
he's apparently fine. Dan Campbell said he's day to day. They have Seattle this week on Monday Night Football, which sucks, by the way. I hate having guys on Monday Night Football who are actually important. Yep. But they have a bye after that. So I'm betting he's out.
Yeah.
This week.
I also have LaPorta in that same league. I have McCaffrey, by the way.
Right. I think he's out this week. Yeah, it's just injuries suck. This is the same thing with Herbert. He re-aggravated his high ankle sprain. X-rays were negative. You know, all happy things. They have the Chiefs this week. With both tackles injured, so God bless anyone who has Chargers this week. Sit your J.K. Dobbins. My guess is he's also out this week, but they said they're going to monitor him. Devontae Smith got absolutely blindsided on a very dirty hit. He's apparently in the concussion protocol, but, you know, nothing worse than that. Besides, you know, concussion. I always feel bad saying that, but it could be worse.
Britton Covey to IR too, by the way. You didn't put that on the sheet.
No.
So Jahan Dotson's going to get 100 targets this week. Or Goddard's
going to get another. Goddard,
yeah.
I don't expect AJ Brown back with the bye coming. Again, another bye coming up. So I don't expect.
Is that in week five too? So yeah AJ's probably out one more week. I guess, Rocky, very quickly, who is the Eagles guy, if anyone? Dotson?
That's all that's left.
Spot start.
I think it's got to be. Yeah, it's him and Paris Campbell and sixth round draft pick Johnny Wilson were the guys on the field at the end of that game on Sunday.
Johnny Wilson did that at Florida State too. He's big, but he can't hold the ball for anything.
So I think the real answer is the guy is going to be Goddard unless he's just getting triple teamed.
Or Saquon's going to get 20 catches.
Yeah.
Well, that will also happen, but they loved saying the name Johnny Wilson on the broadcast.
Yeah, they did. Trey McBride concussion. That one looked a little brutal. He kind of got helmet to helmet with a lion and went kind of straight down. I thought that was a little scarier than it was. The Steelers, we're back to Cordarrelle Patterson, baby. Najee's in a sling, and Warren's getting an MRI. Apparently, both guys are fine, but I wouldn't be surprised if Cordarrelle's leading the pack this week, which is gross.
Especially with Arthur Smith in charge of the offense.
Yeah. apparently Najee, they said he's fine for this week, but we'll see. And they said Warren is quote-unquote iffy. But MRI is negative. I know. Can you picture big, scary Mike Tomlin saying iffy out loud? That had to be someone paraphrasing. Skylar Thompson day-to-day. I think they're going to switch. It sounds like McDaniel's thinking about it. I'm not sure Huntley's better, but anything's better.
That's probably QB Tyler Huntley.
Yes, exactly. Snoop Huntley now, because that happened at some point in the offseason and no one knew about it. So Vikings, I have three Vikings. Darnold's knee is fine. He's expected to be good to go for week four. That one made me sad when he was down rolling on the ground and like looking at his knee. I thought that was really it for the Cinderella run, and that one made me really sad. Good news. They're expecting Addison to be back this week. Yes. So get rid of your Jalen Naylor, whatever his name was, who had like four touchdowns in 4 weeks. And they're targeting week seven for Hockenson. So considering the landscape of the tight end right now, I imagine anyone who has Hockenson is going to be starting him right away.
Yep.
There's no really trades on that. Antonio Pierce is not ruling out a QB change. That was fast. Gardner Minshew beats the Ravens, and now he's going to be benched for Aiden O'Connell. It's amazing what losing to the Panthers can do.
I was just going to say, that's what happens when you lose to the Panthers.
Look, man, they should know. It's like, oh, never mind. Andy Dalton came in. Let's write this one off. You rally around the Red Rifle.
You can't stop Andy Dalton. You can only hope to contain him.
Exactly.
Seriously. That whole Raiders situation just feels like a sell-off is coming at some point, like where they sell everything. It's like including Davante Adams to finally the Jets or something like that. And that's going to be terrifying for Garrett Wilson, considering they still don't have chemistry.
So it'll be the same thing they did 4 years ago with Khalil Mack.
I know. Yeah.
And they had a good corner. Also, that I think they just let go for nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's just that feels like a tank at some point if they lose a couple more games because Crosby's already hurt and, you know, they're trying, but they just lost to the Panthers. So, all right, Rocky. Adam Thielen is headed to the IR. So who do you think could benefit from that?
The wide receiver one season is incoming. It started last week. I think I said this before we started recording, but he just needed a competent quarterback, which was not Bryce Young, apparently.
Yes.
It is Andy Dalton.
For those who don't follow the podcast as closely.
Yes, Deontay. I said I would be my bold prediction was he'd be a wide receiver one this year. If he keeps playing like last week, he will be.
Yeah. For those who forget, my bold prediction was Will Levis would be top 12. That's looking great right about now. I also said the Seahawks would be a top 5 offense. That looks better. And then the final one, I had to put this on here because we are not only a Bucky Irving podcast, we are the Bucky Irving podcast.
Yes.
There is no podcast that has more shares of Bucky Irving than so the three people Bucky on this screen.
I have him in SFB.
redraft. I do, so. But I have a million running backs in SFB. So Bucky Irving is deserving more snaps, according to Todd Bowles. And I heard a stat today. Bucky Irving has 2 carries of 30-plus yards in 25 career carries. Rashad White has 2 carries of 30-plus yards in 432 carries. So there's clearly a handoff of the baton here, at least hopefully, to Bucky.
So what I'm hearing is Bucky Irving RB1.
That's right.
It was a matter of time.
Do you know what this actually feels like a little bit? Is Pacheco and Clyde, when there was kind of a lower tier guy kind of beating out a better tier guy who was already kind of in the spot. And Pacheco was just, you know, slowly taking carries away for the whole season before he came to RB1 of that team. But I guess finally, and then we'll touch on the question in the chat, IR and PUP players are coming back. So the two people I wrote down, you know, specifically as kind of near term are Clyde, speaking of which, you know, the KC backfield's kind of a disaster. So him coming back could be helpful for that. And Audric Estime, and we will touch on Javonte in a second because woofa, the Denver Broncos backfield has like 100 people in it. So Audric Estime coming back doesn't help anything. But I guess in the chat, Rocky, what would you send to get Deontay on a contender now?
I'm not sending a first.
Wide receiver one? You're not?
No, he had one good game. I can argue against that all day. I would easily send a second plus. I do think this will continue as long as Bryce doesn't get back in there. My whole argument during the non-point scoring season was that maybe Bryce could at least get to Andy Dalton. I mean, I didn't say Andy Dalton, but that kind of, you know, competent quarterback, right, that he would make a jump. And I think I would do 2 seconds. Corey just asked in the chat, 2 seconds. Yep. I think I'd be – and again, I am like one of the biggest Deontay Johnson stands that's ever existed. So I don't know if that's too much, but I think as long as it's not someone as bad as Bryce Young was playing, this, he's not going to get 8 for 129 and a touchdown or whatever it was every week, but he's going to get, like I said all offseason, he's going to get a ton of targets and he's going to do stuff with them. So I think 2 seconds I would easily do on a contender if I had them.
Yeah,
if you're a contender and one of the seconds is yours, adding another second usually doesn't really pull me back too often. The only time, you know, when it really throws me off is age. That's the only time sending 2 seconds really throws me off. Like sending 2 seconds for Derrick Henry, value wise, makes perfect sense. You should be doing that, but it's like, really, 2 draft picks for a 90-year-old? Is that really what I want to do? Is that the age thing? Is that what I want to do to the age average of my team? That's really what gets me stuck. But you know, Deontay Johnson's only like 32. He's not 90 yet.
Just looking that up. I think he's 28.
I know.
He's a little older for a wide receiver, but he's a wide receiver. That's what I meant to say. Yeah. You know, he's not 30. He's not actually 30 yet. He's in his upper 20s. And the thing is, he's another guy where speed has absolutely nothing to do with it anyway. Deontay Johnson just gets open, and footwork doesn't decline when you hit 30. Yeah. You know, that's definitely one thing we've seen out of some of these route runners. I would absolutely give 2 seconds in the right situation. Like, this is one of those, you know, filling in for an injury or like one piece away kind of things. This isn't something I do because I think I'm contending. This is something I do. I know I'm contending and I just need that one little extra oomph.
Yep. Deontay just turned 28. So he's young 28. What if I offered you Jameson Williams in a second for Deontay Johnson?
I would take Jameson Williams in a second for Deontay Johnson. I know we're on a week of absolute garbage compared to the first two.
J-Mo is real, man. He had a bad game, but...
Yeah, I probably would take that, too. Even though I love my Deontay. But I also have, like, 20 shares, so it's kind of easy to send one for Jameson in a second. But...
Yeah, that's true. God, isn't that crazy where Jameson was 3 weeks ago? You wouldn't have sent, him in a second for Deontay.
I wouldn't have sent a second for Jameson Williams 3 weeks ago.
Nope.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. That's all for me, I think. So we can, I guess, Russ, would you like to do trades or listener questions?
Oh, my.
I like that.
All right, yeah, well, we're going to do trades because they kind of roll. So real quick first, and it's live so I can actually do this for people that are watching. If you go to fantasycares.org/GG, your donation could get you a chance to win a Trey McBride signed mini helmet. And I'm holding it up to the camera if you're watching this live. But if you're on the podcast, still, trust me, I'm holding a Trey McBride signed mini helmet. If you go to fantasycares.org/GG, every $5 you donate is an entry to win this beautiful mini helmet. The winner will be drawn on the Tuesday wrap-up show on usually 2 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern time. But is there any other injury stuff that was worth talking about before we do move on? Like, I'm gonna be crushed if Devonta misses time because like all my favorite wide receivers are getting hurt. Like it's just T's just coming back and then I'm gonna lose Devonta. Like
I think Devonta's gonna sit because we already talked about the bye. So you're not gonna rush him back and let him get hit in the head a second time. And you know, my guess is the Eagles are very wide receiver list this weekend.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. And, yeah, with that bye coming, and I think that Saints win kind of maybe buys them a week where they're like, well, if we...
Do they play? Do we know?
They play the Bucs. And, yeah, in Tampa, and I think they can almost, like, chalk this up. Like, if we lose because we're missing all our guys, whatever, and we go into the bye 2-2, and we're okay now.
By the way, game of the weekend, Andy Dalton is hosting the Bengals.
Oh no, revenge game.
Revenge. Yes. And that Bengals defense can't stop
it. That's true. Deontay,
yeah,
10 catches, 200 yards. Mark
Chase and Deontay are gonna have 50 points each.
I'm gonna download the DraftKings app just on my phone just I can join
every Panther. Yeah,
let's go. And so many Dalton and Deontay stacks. All right, so let's get into Trade Addicts trades. 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception and 0.05 points for return yardage, which, man, how much did that fall after week one? Like, week one, it seemed like it was going to make such a difference.
Eckler had a good one.
Yeah, and Chase Brown did pretty well, too, this past week. I only know that because of the SFB wrap-up, but...
By the way, I forgot Eckler has a concussion, but, you know, it's Eckler.
It's Eckler.
I started Turpin in SFB, but that mainly worked out because he caught a touchdown, not because of his kick yards.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but
that was...
Return yardage does not count for Trade Addicts 1 anyway. And the first trade we have is Trade Addicts 1. The trade, Puka Nacua, Jake Ferguson, and a 26th second for Jonathan Taylor, Michael Pittman, and Evan Engram.
That's a good trade.
It's a really good trade.
Okay, so story, everybody, sit. It's circle time. Get on the rug. Sit. Crisscross applesauce. It's like 6:30 in the morning. I'm looking at my phone. I can barely...
When best trades are made.
I can barely see what's going on. Yeah. And I look at this offer and I'm like, all right. That's fine. Yeah. I don't like, and I don't want to give too much away just yet. I'm like, this fits what I'm doing, except the chat was not happy about this trade. Like, I was told it was straight up bad. To which I made the joke, oh, I guess I could handle drunk trades, but 6:30 a.m. trades is where I draw the line.
Yeah.
But you guys both think that this is a fair... What do you think this is?
I think all of this kind of depends on your view of Jake Ferguson. If you think Jake Ferguson is in the top 6, 7, which he might be at this point, tight ends, then I think I take the Puka side because my Lord, Michael Pittman, fell off a cliff.
Oh, that's hurting my soul.
And it's all Richardson's fault. And I am a Richardson fan and a believer, but wow.
He was all Richardson's
fault.
He was so bad in this last game.
Yeah, I'm a Bears fan and I watched that and I regret it. But I would probably take the Puka side just because it's probably the best asset, but I don't feel good about it. Like I'm uncomfortable, which I think makes it a good trade, right? Like if you're uncomfortable giving something away or taking something, that means it's a good trade. So I feel like that's what this podcast has taught me.
Yep.
So
if you're both happy or both sad, usually if you're both happy, it might be a good trade. If you're both sad, it was definitely a good trade.
Right. So yeah,
this is one of those trades. If I have either side, I'm not sure I actually pulled the trigger. Because I like a lot of these players too. But I think I'm with you. Puka's, I mean, yes, he's hurt, but he's still the much more like valuable asset than pretty much anyone in that. I guess Taylor is probably the closest, but even still, I don't think he has near the value that Puka does when healthy. Mm-hmm. So, and I am a Ferguson believer too. I like Ingram a lot, but I see them as pretty similar. And like you said, Michael Pittman is just, and I've not been really a Richardson believer. I was willing to be open to that he could be a thing after the way last year started. I just never think, I don't think he's ever going to be a particularly good passer. And he's not looking good at all right now. So I think I got to go with the Puka side and Jake Ferguson and be sad I lose Taylor and Ingram.
So I don't have my first in this league, but I was still so annoyed with how bad my team was performing that I decided to rebuild anyway.
So you took the Puka side.
I got the Puka side and was told I got fleeced.
No.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
I don't think so either. I think people don't like Ferguson as much as they should. People still think Ferguson isn't like in that second tier, and he is at this point to me.
Yeah, to me, he's in that Ingram level. Yeah.
I mean, pump your brakes on that one a little bit.
I'd rather have Ferguson than Ingram right now.
You shut your mouth.
Ingram has Trevor Lawrence as his quarterback.
I know. And we'll get to that. But
no, because Ingram's going to come back and Trevor Lawrence is going to be fine because he'll have more than just one rookie pass catcher.
Who's doing great, by the way.
Oh, I love him. I'm very
happy. Shout out BTJ. Yes. I did not think that was going to happen. That was one I was really wrong on.
But it's good that you can admit it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, I thought this was complete. Like, again, 6:30 in the morning, me thought this was very fair. Like, I'm sitting here staring at it, recognizing that Michael Pittman's value is in the tank and that it's not really going to go up. Like, even if things went back to what they were last year and all of a sudden Pittman is scoring wide receiver 15 to 20 points, like, that's solid wide receiver,
too. Lower than that. I mean, he's dropping single digits.
No, last year, like how he did last
year. Oh, last year. Sorry. Yes.
If he started doing that again, his value is not going to be worth more than a random 25 first ever again. You know, a random future first. So I'm like, all right, fine. You tell me that Jake Ferguson is worth Michael Pittman, I can probably get behind that. You know, and then Puka and a second for Taylor and Ingram felt completely fine to me. And all of a sudden, I'm being told I'm getting fleeced, and I'm like, "What am I missing? You know what? I'm just going to trust you because three of you were saying it, so I'm just going to trust you."
Where's the second? Generally,
that's 26, though. It doesn't matter.
No, I know, but okay.
Also, legitimately, no idea. I don't know.
Yeah, Russ, I think you have to answer this question in the chat
because I don't wanna.
It's your baby, and
yeah, brain burst in the chat asking, "Do you guys think Kelsey is going to bounce back, or is Father Time catching up on him?" I don't know if it's necessarily father time or if it's life outside of football or if it's...
I was just going to say, maybe Taylor's tiring him out or something.
The defense is just finally being like, you know what? Six guys on Kelce and the other people can catch the ball. That's fine. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, but it seems like this might be where we're at with Travis Kelce. Yeah. I'm not closing the doors to a decent bounce back, but I don't... Like, we're not getting 9 points per game above tight end two Travis Kelce back.
I mean, like he was not bad last year, but he was dipping already last year. He was not like Travis Kelce last year.
Yeah, he was the tight end one at one point, but it was by a point and a half. And J. Mike jumps in just to say, give me a second and I'll give you Kelce. And I mean, that's the unfortunate truth. That's what he's worth right now. I remember last week, I think it was Trader Joe said he gave away Kelce for a second and a third. Like, that's where we are. Even in a tight end premium league, that's where we are. I get it. I don't like it. But it's what it is.
Yeah.
Of course, we'll probably
she races.
Yeah. Eight for 100 and a touchdown this week or something.
Yeah. She races like taking 18 targets a game or something like that. I mean, that's where the volume's going because Worthy's not getting thrown to either. He had like four targets this week.
Yeah. And like, I'm wondering if there's going to be like a, because this is what we all, this is at least what I was expecting. Where the threat of Kelce and Worthy is going to put everyone mid to downfield. And so that's what's going to be great for Rashee Rice. And that's what's coming to fruition. Now, mm-hmm. I'm going to start being curious if they start leaving one of their, like a nickel corner at the line of scrimmage the entire time, maybe freeing up something for one of those two guys mid downfield. But I mean, no one's adjusting yet. So, I mean, it's more of
a. This is the week, I think, because Kelce eats against the Chargers. I feel like, but that's when Herbert's throwing for 35 points on the other side. So maybe this is the Chiefs run for 200 yards and get out. So if the Chargers have no offense, yeah.
Yeah. This game's probably just going to be pretty ugly.
Yeah.
So let's get to one of our aforementioned Trevor Lawrence trades. Trade Addict 3. Trevor Lawrence, Will Shipley, and something named Devon Vele?
Mm-hmm. Yep, Vele.
That's made up. He's
a Broncos rookie wide receiver.
I didn't know who he was either, Russ.
Nope.
That's fine.
So Trevor Lawrence for Nico Collins, Tyler Lockett, and Jalen Wright. Is Trevor Lawrence bad?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of think so.
Yeah. The problem is they just extended him, so he's gonna play. They're not gonna get rid of him, but they did have like 100 outs into that contract. There was like, you know, after year 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, they can get out of it. So
he's certainly not good.
Well, like my hope is like, look, we want everyone to be what CJ Stroud was. We want everyone to elevate the players around them. We want everyone to be transcendent, and especially when we talk about Trevor Lawrence as a prospect, the best since Manning or Luck or whoever, it's unfair in the first place, but like also it's also tough to like, okay, he's a decent QB too. Like he's a good real life QB and not a good for fantasy. Like there's no in between really. It's either he becomes that superstar or he's terrible. I'm really crossing my fingers that Evan Engram comes back and with more than one weapon in the offense, things click a little bit. It's like what happened last year. Calvin Ridley wasn't enough, but the second Zay Jones stepped on the field, it was just the greatest thing in the world. Like, I think he might need the weapons to elevate his play. And like you said, with the Jaguars being stuck in his contract for the next 2 years, I mean, there's a certain wide receiver that's going to be a free agent at the end of the year who I've been asking to go into that green jersey. I hung up my Evan Engram jersey. I have room for another green number 5 jersey right next to it.
He'll be number 0 just to mess with you. T. Higgins.
Oh my God, I will be so mad. No, I have a Ridley jersey that I'll just scrape the name plate off.
Yeah, right. Or just do the duct tape. Yeah.
And just write T on the back of it.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to the trade. Trevor Lawrence for Nico Collins, Tyler Lockett, and Jalen Wright. What do you think, Frank?
This is another one of those, depending on what you think of the player trades. If you think Nico has crossed into that kind of
wide receiver one tier, then you take Nico, because Lockett is going to be extremely frustrating, but he's going to get you points along the way. And Jalen Wright is playing some. He looks fine.
He is active.
Yes, he's playing. He's playing a couple snaps a game, and he looks fine. The problem with Lockett is the Seahawks are going to be the most frustrating carousel ever. Like, Metcalf goes off, and then Lockett goes off, and then JSN goes off, and none of them, the rest of them do. So if you still buy Trevor Lawrence, which I don't, then you keep the Lawrence side. But otherwise, sell it and get out.
Yeah, I'm with you. I might do Nico for Trevor Lawrence straight up.
I mean, this more or less is, right?
Yeah, but I mean, you're getting a little bit on top. I mean, I would easily take Tyler Lockett and Jalen Wright over Will Shipley and, Devon. So you're getting even a little bit on top. And he's not even a good – you threw in there maybe he's a real good real life – I mean, he's not a good real life QB right now anyway. Mm-hmm. I was just looking. He's just barely over 50% completion percentage. Yes. And his touchdowns in three games. Like, he's bad for fantasy, but he's just bad right now. And he's never been great in his entire time in the league. So, yeah, unless I just absolutely can't afford to lose a quarterback, I'm doing that all day.
Also might need to accept that the Bills are just a wagon. They're beating everybody. I mean, badly.
Yeah, like,
so
let's call Trevor Lawrence an okay QB2. I still think I keep that over Nico Collins.
Oh, I don't.
Just because it's a quarterback in a super flex league, and I think that Lawrence has the ability for, 250 yards, two touchdowns, and an interception. And that's usually around, 22 points? Like, he has those weeks in him, I think, more than Nico is going to have multiple touchdown games this year. And that's really what it takes for wide receivers to get to 20 points. Like, I like Nico. I do think he's going to – I think he belongs in that top 12 conversation. But I still think this is just the quarterback.
Yeah, I'm higher on Nico than you are, too. I mean, he's wide receiver 8 right now with one touchdown. I mean, it's just three games, so we'll see how it goes over the season. But also, from people smarter than me listening to podcasts, a lot of his underlying stats last year were really good, too. And he was great last year. And I think he's still clearly the wide, even with Diggs there, even with Tank Dell back, he's still clearly the wide receiver 1 in that offense. And and very young still, so... I'm very high on Nico too, and I'm very low on Lawrence, so it makes it pretty easy for me.
I think, and we can, weave this into the next Lawrence trade if we want, but like, there will be times to buy Lawrence for cheaper because I'm staring at his schedule right now. I mean, he plays the Texans, Bears, Patriots, Packers, Eagles, Vikings, Lions, Texans again, Titans, and Jets in the next 10 weeks. He plays no bad defenses. There will be times if you want Lawrence to get him later. I would not sell someone like Nico Collins for him. I think you could get him for a lot less down the line. So,
yeah, but the trade happened now, Frank.
I know, I know. And I said I will still take Nico Collins now.
Okay. All right, so let's move on to TA6, where Jalen Wright, because that's the carryover between from last trade. Jalen Wright, Roman Wilson, and a 25 first for Chris Olave and a 25 third.
This makes me sad.
I got a text message asking if he overpaid for Chris Olave. I was like, what? I'm sorry, what? What? Would you take Olave in this one, Rock? Because you're way lower on Olave than I've ever been.
Yeah, I think I would. This is basically 25 first for Olave. I kind of think that's fair-ish for me. I know other people value him higher than that. But I would take Olave. I just... I've never believed in him the way you believed in him, and this year is still kind of bearing that out through the first three games. Even as they were producing a lot, he has not. So I still don't ever see him being more than a mid-wide receiver too, which is basically what I've been saying since he came in the league. But I think a 25 first is bearish for that.
No. No. No, and I get it. And I'm not writing off Jalen Wright and Roman Wilson. I really do believe in Roman Wilson. I think he will be good. And Jalen Wright, we kind of assumed was a next year asset anyway. I mean, at least that's how I know a lot of us were talking about it. Mm-hmm. But to me, I don't really, those don't feel like they factor in when you're talking about a 25 first and Chris Olave. I don't think you're getting that much more than just a first. First of all, to throw the context in here, this is the champions first. The three-time champions first. So this was J-Mike. And that's it. And if you're rebuilding, I get that you want the picks, but what, 23, 24-year-old wide receiver? That's kind of what you stick with. And, I don't know. To me, this was just very easily Olave.
Yeah, this is slam Olave. We can move on.
All right, well, let's move on to the next TA6 trade, which was Deebo Samuel for Kirk Cousins. Rocky, you got Kirk Cousins?
I did get Kirk Cousins.
I knew it wasn't me, and I was just like, who else? Deebo saying for Kirk Cousins, this feels absolutely fine. What's up with Deebo? Do we know?
Couple weeks. He had a hamstring injury or something like that.
Couple makes it tough. If he was coming back next week.
I don't think he's back this week. It doesn't seem like it.
I mean, it's not like Cousins is playing like Cousins yet. But yeah. I think he will. I think he can get back to that. It was wonderful to see another Drake London touchdown. I need more than two receptions for Kyle Pitts.
To give some context here on my end, I traded Deebo for Kirk Cousins in this trade. I came into the season with Goff, Tua, and Russell Wilson as my QBs. So I'm down to one.
So you came in with Goff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I thought Tua.
You had Tua for a game and a half, yeah.
Yeah. And then I also have 16, 17 decently startable players on my roster. I have James Cook and Rashad White, Kyren Williams, Stephon Diggs, Terry McLaurin, all these. I have so many different guys I can start every week. It's hard to pick who to start anyway. And Debo's banged up, so I was like, what the hell? Let me try and see if I – and this was it with Hogue, who, of course, has five quarterbacks on his roster. So I figured let me throw it out there. I felt about right to me, definitely, especially with the – I even thought might be a little overpay. I don't know, but what the start Kirk has had. But I still believe he's going to eventually be Kirk Cousins' new offense coming off a bad injury. I still think we're going to see better than what we've seen in the first three games anyway.
Yeah. I would feel much better about Deebo's side if he was playing now. If he's gone for in the next few weeks, then this is more easily Cousins. Though, again, this is what John does. John gets 18 quarterbacks so he can sell them for non-quarterbacks. And so I'm sure he's happy with what he did. All right, so let's move on to Trade Addicts 9. And this was a trade. We went back and forth a lot on this one. And he offered this to me on Friday. I think it was Friday afternoon, and it sat in my inbox. And I texted with people. I'm asking advice. I'm like, so the offer that was sitting in my inbox was Trevor Lawrence and a 25 first for Malik Nabers and a 25 second. Now, we know my feelings on Trevor Lawrence. I'm a very big Trevor Lawrence fan. And also, my team is great on paper, but I don't know. This is my first year out of a rebuild. And I'm like, am I selling my first? And then it hits Sunday morning and he messages me. He's like, just letting you know, I'm going to revoke it when the games are about to start. Not pressuring you, just letting you know I don't let trades sit out there. And I was just like, why am I thinking about this? Except... And I got Malik Nabers in the second.
Oh, good. I've been sitting here with a sour look on my face, praying that you didn't have the Lawrence side.
And yes, it worked out for me very, very well, very quickly, getting Malik Nabers in there. And I still have a few Lawrence shares. I don't know if I have any other Malik Nabers shares, to be honest. and he looks for real. And I want in on that.
Daniel Jones's job for him. I mean,
yeah. Like, and I want it. I need my just in case share because it's not just in case anymore. Yeah. Like, he's for real. So let me get in now before it goes even crazier because he's already like wide receiver 9. I think he was.
Well, after this week, he's wide receiver 1. If you take
out, no, I meant dynasty wise. Oh, okay. Not scoring. Sorry. So like, I figured like it's just going to get even higher at this point. And what really came to, and I asked a couple of people this, one of them being Zach Reed, who is a very big Malik Nabers fan. I'm like, when next season, when the Giants no doubt bring in another pass catcher, and assuming it's going to be a talented pass catcher, maybe we see a number 5 in blue and white that I can go.
Would you want that? Play. You don't like blue and white jerseys, though.
I don't. I really, really don't. But I'd
I was
going to
say
it would be worth it to go see him play. Though it'd be better if he went to the Jets because their tickets are cheaper. Even though it'd be worse for football, for well, fantasy football, and for me. But regardless, would Malik Nabers still be a thing if they brought in another talented pass catcher? And multiple people are just like, "Yep." So I'm like, "All right, I'm in," and I made this trade and feeling pretty good about it.
Mm-hmm. People are already at the Nabers is better than Marvin.
That's not.
They're holding hands on the same. Yeah, I was going to say they're holding hands on the top tier and everyone else looking up at them. So,
like, I'm cool with like using a Chase and Jefferson analogy here. It's like, who's your wide receiver 1? It doesn't matter.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't matter. All right. Do either of you guys have any strong feelings on the Trevor Lawrence in the first side on this one?
Hammer Nabers on this one. I'm done with Lawrence. I am. I know it's probably too early, but and he's gonna, you know, throw for 300 yards against the Colts and everyone's gonna be back, but I'm not. I'm out. And now Nabers is gonna get dwarfed by the Cowboys on Thursday because the Cowboys always beat the Giants somehow.
And I saw someone with the fancy tweets calling the Cowboys a run funnel defense.
God. A frustrating defense to watch. I guess not if you're playing against them.
Our last trade Addicts 10, I think another Rocky special, right?
It is.
A 25 first and third for Chris Godwin and a 25 second before this weekend, right?
Yeah, I was just looking. It was on Thursday.
Okay, so post good first game before he caught another touchdown this week, which... Man, I was really stoked for Mike Evans after week 1. Not going so well now. All right, so a first and a third for Evans. See, now he's just stuck in my head. A first and a third for Godwin in a second. I get this because Godwin's not worth the first.
By the way, these are all my picks somehow. So
the first
exactly around third. Apart. Yeah.
I love when that happens. You know exactly how far apart those are.
Yes.
Yeah, that's okay. So that does really devalue the second a bit. Yeah, I pay this for Chris Godwin right now if I'm competing and I want to keep competing. And especially my first. Usually I like to save that for running backs later in the season. But the Bucks look real. And maybe there is a time where it's going to go back to Evans and away from Godwin, but he just looks so good right now that, I mean, and I've always been a Godwin fan, so I'm in. I'm buying in. So, and this probably feels like what you have to do right now, so I'm in. I get it. And also, I love getting a first on the other side.
Yeah, and I was a little reluctant with the first, but yeah, I mean, getting the second back makes it palatable. And the first, hopefully, is going to be late. It's, you know, we're 3 games in, but I am 3-0 with the second most points in the league. So the hope is that it's 9-12 anyway, and I get the second around, the exact round later, second back in the deal. So, yeah, and I had a Bucks fan that was I was talking to, and they not even knowing about this trade, and it mentioned to me that he thinks – this is going to be up. Like, he was saying this like after week 1 that Godwin's just going to get peppered with targets all year. So That's always kind of stuck in my head, and it's just been showing through each of the first 3 weeks. So yeah, I thought it was worth it getting the second back.
Yeah. I would probably take the Godwin side too, especially if I'm competing. It's weird though. I'm waiting for Evans to flip that switch back on and for Godwin not to be worth anything anymore. So, but it's clearly those two. I mean, there's no, like, you know, McMillan's hanging around and Trey Palmer. There's no one else there.
Tight end of note.
Yeah, no tight end. So it's those two. So, you know, Baker, unless Baker throws it like 12 times a game for some reason, then, you know.
And of course, Bucky Irving's going to eventually start.
Yes, Bucky Irving's going to catch 25 passes. I forgot about that. So, yeah. No, I like the Godwin side if you're competing.
Yeah. All right, well, that was our last trade, and then we jump into the listener questions, and the first question is from a guy who's on the show at the moment, so why don't you just read it?
Yeah, so I asked about sell highs last week, so we'll flip it. Five players who have been way below expectations, and I mean way below. So Andrews, who had zero catches on one target this week against the Cowboys.
MFL had it as zero targets, by the way.
I know, and it... I remember exactly the target too. Lamar just
I do too, actually.
Yeah, and so I guess, you know, it depends on how you look at it. But Kelce, Pittman, Swift, and Javonte. So we've talked about Kelce and Pittman kind of. So let's start with Andrews, I guess, and then we'll go to Javonte. Swift we're done with, right? Let's just get him off. Out of the way. Yeah. Are we done with Swift?
I am loving these Roshan touches, baby.
I know. Yeah,
let's go.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got some other decent running backs there, and it's yeah. The offense is not great, so yeah.
No. Okay. Andrews, what do we do?
I'm waiting.
You can't sell him, right? I mean, no.
All you can do is wait and hope that he's going to get healthier.
Yeah.
What was it someone said? He was only on like 30% of the snaps?
Yeah.
Yeah, which screams, injury.
And, like, Charlie Kolar was, like, catching passes.
Like, so this has to be an injury thing, in which case he's going to get better. And he's and plus that offense still isn't looking like what it could or should. And maybe that is part
of... Because Derrick Henry's eating all the yards. I mean...
That's what
they never had. Yeah, I know. So I'm wondering if it's literally just a scheme change. And if it's a scheme change, that's a much bigger issue. Because if it's going to be Henry taking all the carries and Lamar running for 70 yards a game and, you know, Zay Flowers catching three screens out of the backfield because he keeps doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Andrews has no place here then. Unless he's oh man, I'm gonna say it. He's Jimmy Graham. He's back end Jimmy Graham.
I can't go that far.
Well,
no, yeah. I'm willing to wait. I'm willing to wait and see that he gets healthier. He gets on the field. I have all the faith in Lamar Jackson to get this offense back and clicking once his favorite weapon is back. I'm fine. I'm not fine waiting, but I am waiting because I believe that Mark Andrews isn't all of a sudden bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I second everything Russ said basically there. I'm not selling. I'm probably not buying because I still would rather like to see him actually get back to being Mark Andrews mm-hmm. first. And I'm sure most of the managers rostering Mark Andrews are going to want, you know, Mark Andrews prices still. It's only three games, that's, all that stuff.
Yeah, that's what it is. Like, if in a tight end premium league, you can somehow pull Andrews for a second or maybe even 2 seconds, I would take that risk.
I would absolutely do that, but I think most aren't going to want
to. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I was agreeing with you saying that, like, it's probably not happening, but if there is someone in pure panic who, like, yep. who's deciding to rebuild now, float it out there. See how frustrated they really are.
Yep. This is, since Russ likes Major League, this is Jobu for Mark Andrews this week because they host Buffalo. Allen is going to score. They are going to have to put up points. So this is the week where we can hopefully see a more pass-heavy offense and Hopefully he gets some targets. The other guy is, unfortunately, another player of this podcast.
This makes me sad.
I know. Me too. I almost wish they'd trade him. Just send him somewhere else. But Javonte Williams.
Last year. Contract, right?
I'll check that. But so, Rocky, what would you do while I look that up?
It's just that offense, right?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I'd be honest, I haven't watched a lot of the Broncos. I mean, I just assume it's the offense because they're not very good. Little
Jordan Humphreys catching the ball?
Yeah, and Devon Bele. But I was just looking up his exact stats. He's 24 for 52 running.
Oof.
The one beacon of hope is he does have nine catches on nine targets in his last two games. He only got two targets in the first game, but it's just, yeah, like you said, the offense is not good. I still believe in the talent. I mean, he looked good. He looked way better than I expected, actually, last year coming off the injury, and I was super hopeful for this year. But yeah, I mean, the offense is a mess. I mean, Bo Nix, I think he had a decent game this past week when they won. But he's not looked that particularly good overall, from afar. And they don't have many other weapons in that offense. So, I mean, I'm kind of with Frank. I almost wish they would trade him or do something so that he gets out of Denver. And then maybe we can see what we really have. I mean, even last year, I mean, the last couple of years, they haven't, with Russ, obviously, they haven't been a great offense. He's never really been in a particularly good offense. So I'd like to see him. When there was that talk during the preseason about, him and P. Ryan might be fighting for the same spot and all that stuff, and there was actually talk that he might get released, I kept saying I wish he would go to Dallas.
Man, he would look good on Dallas right now. Yeah.
Just anywhere else but Denver. But I don't think that's going to happen. So, what do you do with them? I guess hold and pray. I don't know, because I don't know that it's going to get better. But I don't want to give them up for a mid to late second or something. Which is
Are you even getting a second?
Exactly. This is probably all you can hope for him.
Would you take Estime for him right now? Same offense.
I would not. Estime is one of the, I know I've said over the last couple of years, I haven't watched guys as much, but he's actually one guy I did see a little tape on, and I wasn't super impressed with Estime anyway, even though I know a lot of people are, or were by his rookie tape, or college tape. But he just feels to me like one of those sort of sexy-ish late round names that's never actually going to be anything.
Yeah. I love this. Hold on. We got J. Mike saying he and Dobbins feel like they went different routes in the fork in the road.
Definitely.
But what's the real difference, though? What's the difference?
Yes.
JK's on another team now.
Yeah.
There you go. Javonte's got to go and get that renaissance going. Jason in the chat just sticking up in here saying, Bo didn't start off well, but he's looking progressively better each game, so he might be passable and open up the run game more. That pass game is not going to get good enough to open up the run game. Just putting it out there. They don't have enough.
It up to more than 2.2 yards a carry for Javonte.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem, right? This was the free space, right? This was the Bucs with no defensive line. All four of them were out. This was all second string up and down. And the Broncos did nothing. Tyler, I heard this today, by the way. It's not Beatty. It's Tyler Bidet.
Bidet, yes. They were saying
is that it really? The broadcast.
It's Bidet.
So, yes, it makes sense that he's on that team.
Toilet humor on this show, really?
Yeah. Right, sorry.
We're so above that, Frank.
No, we're not. It's brutal. And Russ, to your question, yes, he is in his last year right now.
Yeah, I thought so. All right, question two.
So I heard this on the Footballers, and I had to bring this up. So you both have kids, so we'll do this. Kids' lives on the line. You have to pick
a tight end to score 10 points this week. Who are you picking? This is the state of the tight end market right now. Who are you picking to score 10 points?
This is
pretty, I have my answer.
Only because it's situationally, and we talked about it earlier. Dallas Goedert.
And I think, okay.
Dallas Goedert, who's been trashed for the first two games.
Dallas Goedert, who's the team's top passing option.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Fair enough. After,
especially that's why I said it situationally. This particular week, yeah. I trust Dallas Goedert to score 10 points.
There you go. And I trust Rocky, so I'm going to go with that because I can't think of a better option.
I thought Ferguson. Ferguson's never going to score you 20, but he'll get you 10.
I'll take it.
I do like that. Ferguson, yeah.
But, yeah, I thought that was a funny question. I had to bring that up.
Yeah, it was a funny question. You turned really dark real fast.
Well,
our kids' lives come into it.
That's how they put it. I think they said it was their lives, but, you know, I don't remember which one. This was 2 days ago. I listened to it, so.
That's forever ago. All right. Know, so,
literally.
Yeah. Now we have Tacit Assassin 13, Zach asking, if you had access to Zoltar Speaks, fortune-telling machine, and it could give you the exact future of one player, what player would you ask about?
Will Levis 3 weeks ago?
I'm so bad at this because, like, I obviously have my player biases, but, like, yeah. I don't think I care enough. Like, and I don't have enough plant flagging bravado in my content creation to also care enough. Like my default answer is always just like T Higgins, because it's nice to know.
Yeah.
Like do I get my hopes up? But it's not, I don't have anything riding on it.
Yeah. My answer is Jameson. I need to know how this ends.
Oh, that's a good answer.
If this is too, is he DeSean Jackson 2.0? Because that's what the ceiling is here. I mean, he's never going to have 20 catches in a game, but he's going to have 5 catches for 130 yards and 2 touchdowns.
No, that's like saying who's the next Tyreek Hill. There may never be another DeSean Jackson. That guy should not have done as well as he did being he was. He just ended up
But that's the mold, right? That's what Jameson's trying to be. That player. Obviously, there's no repeating, but that's the template.
Okay, but I'll change my answer also to Trevor Lawrence. Just let me know now. Let me know now. Do I need to get out? And not even from a fantasy football's perspective. It's more of like from an emotional perspective.
I couldn't come up with a great answer, but mine kind of goes a little bit along with what Russ just said. But it's Caleb Williams. I feel like it's been kind of a mixed bag so far. You know, we just got a real big peak from Jaden Daniels. And is Caleb going to be all he's cracked up to be, real life or fantasy wise? And because he's a rookie and we don't expect a ton right away. And we haven't gotten a ton right away. But I would be curious to know, you know, Caleb was also one of those great prospects coming out. Is he the next Trevor Lawrence?
If you ask Chicago sports radio callers, which I listen to a bunch, they'll already tell you he's busted. So, the Bears fans are lining up. Oh. It's already bad.
Local sports radio is such. I don't know how.
I love it. It's a cesspool, but I love it. I can't get enough of it.
Jason Real in the chat saying Justin Fields, is he going to be who we thought?
We already know he's an MVP candidate. Let's go.
There you go. 3-0, baby. He moves on. Also, just exactly how brilliant would you look if you had traded Trevor Lawrence last week to get Malik Nabers, hypothetically? Which is why I wanted to do the trades first, because this is just my boy standing up for me right here. Then he asks, how are you guys doing in SFB 14? And how come there wasn't an intervention to keep me from fiddling around long enough to remove Chase Brown and Dallas Goedert from my lineup? This makes me feel a little better because I took Dallas Goedert out of my lineup. But Chase Brown put up 35 points.
So I guess there was a decent amount of kick return yardage in there.
He had over 100 return yards. He got about 10 points from rushing work and then a little over 20 points from returning work.
Yeah, it's so hard to decide to start those kick return guys or not.
After week one, it was just like, oh, this is going to be a thing. And then all of a sudden it's like, maybe it's not really going to be a thing. But it seems like there's going to be those players that it really is going to help, unless you're Rashid Shaheed this week.
Which, by the way, I am 5-1, and I have 2 more points than Russ.
I am.
we are second and third in points in the division.
I'm 4-2. I had a pretty bad week. Besides sitting Goddard, I still would have lost. It was just an off week.
Yeah, it's been a pretty good start for me. I'm actually down AJ Brown and Pacheco and had my highest scoring week of the season this week. So, and it's like luck is shining on me because I meant to switch. I had put Cole Kmet in on Thursday when I was setting my lineups because I didn't know what was going on with Jake Ferguson, and I forgot to switch it back, and Kmet had 15 more points. So it ended up working out nicely for me.
Yeah, love it when that happens. What about you?
I'm also 5-1.
Look at us.
I know, the smartest podcast around. The one that's worked out for me is I took Ertz with the last pick, and that one's worked pretty well. The only problem I have is, I think as you guys know, I went 7 running backs to start.
Yes.
So the hardest part is deciding between Keon Coleman, Roma Dunze, Tyler Johnson, for this one wide receiver spot. And I get it wrong every week.
The answer is
I missed Roma Dunze. Yeah. I missed Roma Dunze this week. I missed Keon last week. Keon dropped to 0, and that was why I lost.
Speaking of getting it wrong every week, this goes back. This is not SFB. This goes back to that other home redraft league. I benched JSN for Diontae Johnson in week 2, oof, and then benched Diontae Johnson for JSN in week 3.
I mean, JSN didn't have a bad week.
He was, no. I think he was 4-for-40 or something.
Was it that low? Yeah, it wasn't that. But yeah. I thought it was 10-point week, but it was not 150 yards.
Yes. Touchdown, and the week before he had 9-for-150 or whatever it was. Yep. 8-for-something, yeah.
By the way, that DK touchdown was old school fan yourself DK.
Yes. Woo! And then he finishes up by asking, if you could trade for one player right now you think will have the biggest growth either in points or value from now until the 2026 season, who is the player? I don't have a new answer. Right before the season started, I started acquiring as much Jaden Daniels as I could. And I still think that's my answer to this question. I'm in on Jaden Daniels as a player and as a fantasy asset. I think he's he's my new quarterback guy. Because it can't be Trevor Lawrence anymore. Otherwise,
I did not look at the show sheet. I didn't have an answer prepared for this.
I didn't either. I'm going to say Jameson, but I've said him too many times.
No, keep saying it. It just shows you believe.
My real answer is Garrett Wilson. I'm not done yet. He's played a lot of good defenses, and he's going to play another one. He's going to get Surtain this week, and then everyone go by Garrett Wilson because it's all going to bounce back.
And I might be trading him away in a league, but I'm going after
this. Am I in it? Can I have him? I'm not, right?
No, but I'm trying to trade up to get Jamar Chase.
Oh, okay.
So, but usually
I'm not done with Garrett yet.
I have to go get another Garrett Wilson share, but I might wait till after this week. That's a good idea.
Yeah. I'm not done with Garrett yet.
Me neither.
I think people got spooked by the chemistry thing that so I don't know if you guys saw this. In his post-game press conference, they asked, he had his last touchdown with the Packers to Lazard and his first touchdown with the Jets to Lazard. And he's like, it's just the chemistry. And once I get that with Garrett Wilson as well. And I think that spooked people because they've been together for 18 months now. And they still don't have chemistry, but Rodgers wasn't really throwing last year. So the only thing that scares me is they trade for Devontae. Because I think that sale is coming from the Raiders. And they're going to try and see what they can get for the veterans. And that's the only thing that scares me a little bit. Because,
Garrett will definitely be the two then, because he's obsessed with Devontae.
Well, and Devontae is that good still.
Yeah.
Can I say Tet McMillan?
Yep, I'm in. Let's go.
Is that our new guy? I'm down to make that. I'm down to make that TA guy 2025.
I mean, it's not going to be a hot take.
Yeah.
No, I know.
But, you know, you need a gigantic fast wide receiver, and I'm in.
Yeah.
If I had to name a player in the league, I was just trying to come up with somebody. And not that he's not valued well already, but I think Brock Bowers is going to be that guy. I mean, we already thought he was going to be there, but I think he's really already like three games into his rookie season. He's already like flashing very well. So
yeah,
I think he could be like, you know, the Travis Kelce type tight end. Like he's the tight end one, and then there's everybody else.
Russ is going to start trading for him if you say that.
I mean, I do have one or two.
Especially, but... you know, if we're giving it till 2026, so then we're like
yeah.
2 years down the line into his third year. I think,
yeah
he could be
There's plenty of people that have him as the tight end one already, with Laporta having the off start. And
But, like, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, I don't think you're getting, like, two firsts for him or something, which I think he has the
growth. I think you have to at this point, two firsts to go get Bowers right now.
Probably depends on where the firsts are.
Yes, fair enough. But, like, if one of them isn't, like, early, I think you need to give two.
Yes, agreed.
All right, well, that's
Bucky. Bucky is our other answer.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Bucky. Bucky Irving. Everyone go get Bucky.
Well, Bucky. Fair, he's, like, our most rostered rookie anyway.
Yes.
So.
No, yeah. Yes. We own him so much, we already forgot about how good
yes.
he is.
Yes. Yeah. We just take him for granted at this point.
We can't acquire him because we have him
exactly. in our
league. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was wrapping up. That was the end of our show. That's the end of our show. Thank you, everyone. If you hung out with us live, thanks. I had fun. I hope you had fun. If you do have so much fun, if you wanted to go to patreon.com/tradeaddictspod, you can sign up and hang out with us every single week while we record and just have a grand old time. Plus, we have our Cool Kids Club, the chat on Discord, which is a whole lot of fun. Also, what else do we have? Oh, I brought it up before. I'll bring it up again. And if you are watching live right now, you can see me holding up a signed Cardinals mini helmet by Trey McBride. If you go to fantasycares.org/GG, you can donate to get a chance to win this beautiful Trey McBride signed mini helmet. Every $5 you donate is another entry in. We are drawing the winner on Tuesday when we do our weekly wrap up. And also, one last thing, I probably should have brought this up well before an hour and 11 minutes into the show, but if you're bored on Wednesday evenings on the Fantasy Cares YouTube channel, Zach Reed and I will be spending some time just hanging around, chilling and talking. So if you want to stop by, most likely talking fantasy football, but, you know, maybe not because why, you know, not if we don't have to. But we're there to talk about whatever you want. Wednesdays, 9:30 on the Fantasy Cares YouTube channel. I know that it doesn't actually matter that we're doing this live, but the fact that this is live, I have no idea how to end this show now for some reason. So I think I'm still just going to say goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight,
Russ. Goodnight, everybody.
It's weird, right? Like, I don't know why, but it's
weird. Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants. That is the best. See ya.